This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And you know, when it's time to go to Walt Disney World and you're looking for a place to stay, the last thing you want to do is stay in a really small hotel room. It's not fun. I mean, I love my family, but being cramped in one small room, just not how I envision spending my vacation, right? Well, All Star Vacation Homes has what you need to be able to, go to and stay in a great place with lots of great amenities. And you know what? Not have to pay a lot for them. That's right. They've got some great deals on some amazing houses you really have to check out for yourself. Check out their website right now, allstarvacationhomes.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Friday, November 21st, 2014, and this is episode 1425 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Interesting Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. Len, I think you would appreciate this. I started a blog post with, if I may quote, an underappreciated Dutch Eurodance group from the late 1990s.
Wow. Is that Bjork? I mean, who is it?
Venga Boys.
Venga Boys.
Venga Boys.
As I am wont to do.
Beat you to the punch. I knew it was something you were going to be doing on touringplans.com.
Thank you.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Mike.
Howdy ho, boys.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Scopa, a blogger at touringplans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome back, Mike.
A world that fills the sky above with grace, color, and light.
World of color.
Nope. No, we're talking Disney World here.
Oh, I thought you were going to go.
Keeping it East Coast, no.
All right.
Keeping it real.
Can you say it again?
A world that fills the sky above with grace, color, and light.
Sorcery in the Sky?
Nope.
Israel Pavilion from Millennium 2000 Celebration.
Oh, man, no.
One day you're going to quote that, I'm going to get it right.
An older version
when
of...
When you're not on the show, I'll do it.
An older version of Illuminations.
Nope.
Darn it.
I thought that, but I thought it was too obvious, so pass.
Excuse me, Captain Obvious.
Mickey Mouse Review.
Nope.
One Man's Dream.
Still around. This attraction is still around.
Yeah, One Man's Dream.
Nope. Wait, say it again?
A world that fills the sky above with grace, color, and light.
Under the seas.
No.
The living seas.
No.
The seas with Nemo and friends. No.
The pirate adventure game.
No. Our world that fills the sky above.
I think we've hit all of his usuals.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's it from, Mike?
Flights of Wonder.
No, it's not.
We have a flag on the play.
All right. Watch the first 5 minutes of the show and you'll see.
All right. Well, on today's show, we're previewing trips to Walt Disney World in the month of December. And boy, December is quite a month, depending on when you go depending on when you go in the month, of course. But there's lots going on, again, depending on when you go in the month. But really, it's a pretty busy month regardless. But let's talk about crowds because...
It's busy for us.
it's a good December is a good month to be working for touringplans.com. Let's just say that.
For all of us as well, because there's reunion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah. Of course, we'll be down there coming up in the first week in December, in fact. That's our annual get-together. But, of course, we're not influencing the crowds that much. In fact, we picked that week for a very good reason, because it's usually not too crowded first week in December.
Yeah, it should be the 1st through the 7th, even through the 8th, really. You're talking about crowds in the 3 and 4 level, so below average.
So the one thing, though, that's kind of misleading is you might say, hey, that sounds like a great idea. I'm going to go during one of those weeks. And then you call, you know, maybe your travel agent or whomever, and you go to find a room. And they're like, well, there's nothing available in the Valley Resorts, and the moderates are almost sold out. And you say, well, how can that be? We just heard
what
said it's a slow time of the year. Well, of course, you've got the football.
Pop Warner.
So you have the Pop Warner group, which it's a real little round robin tournament that occurs in Walt Disney World, but they're not in the parks, which is good, but they do stay all in the value and some moderate resorts. So it fills up a lot of hotel space quite quickly. And honestly, by now, it's probably too late for that kind of stuff. So you may find, be like, if you want to stay, if you want to go during those first 2 weeks, you may find a little bit tough to find hotel rooms during that time of year.
It's true. And the other component of Pop Warner is not only the football, but there are cheerleading championships.
Yes.
Now, and that's really grown over the last 5 or 6 years. So that there's probably more cheerleading teams than there are football teams.
Yeah. We often hear about people who will be like, you will tell us, you know, is it okay to stay in the resorts? Is it going to be like a madhouse over there? And I think other than the food courts, I really hardly ever see them because the kids are all playing or competing. And with at least the football teams, when they're eliminated, they're out. That's it. They're home.
Yeah.
So
they typically plan on staying like another day or so. What most teams will do is book, if they're supposed to be there for 5 nights, let's say for the tournament, they'll book 3 or 4 and then try and do a contingency thing based on 5 to see what happens. But very few of them actually book for all 5 nights.
Yeah. So there you go. Something to be aware of. But otherwise, yeah, the parks shouldn't be that bad.
No, it should be. So the Pop Warner will bring somewhere between 25 and 30,000 people. So, you know, 7,000 or so hotel rooms. And that's why it'll boost, it'll make the value resorts very difficult to get into because Disney's typically running around 80-85% occupancy anyway. And the special events like this will just put them over the top.
So now let's get to where's the point in the calendar, Len, where all things quickly escalate up from, you know, really below average, like you mentioned, to, oh my God, it's the end of the world and I'm stuck in the middle of it.
So things are actually pretty good for through almost the first 3 weeks of December. And it's just a quirk in the calendar that the week of Christmas starts on the Saturday before it's the 20th. So you've got up until about that day, maybe even including that day, relatively low crowds. And you know that the crowds aren't terrible yet because the Magic Kingdom is still running Mickey's Very Merry Christmas parties all the way through to the 19th.
Yeah. So I think it's really that 20th date. That's the magic
starting number. On the 20th. Yeah. So on the 20th, the Magic Kingdom is going to open at 8 a.m. and then it's going to be open until 3 a.m. with extra magic hours. By the way, there's only, I think, one day in December. I think it's December 3rd now, where the Magic Kingdom is not going to open at 8 a.m. for all guests. So virtually every day, I think every day now except for December, between now actually and December 3rd, sorry, between now and the end of the year, except for December 3rd, the Magic Kingdom is going to open at 8 a.m. That means the extra magic hours are at 7 a.m.
I know, it's crazy. Oh, you brought up a good point though, Len, about especially those last couple weeks, the posted times for when the parks are open are complete lies because they will be there.
And they'll change too. They'll change to the last minute. So except for the days on which it's Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, I wouldn't believe any park, especially Magic Kingdom closing, that was before midnight. So like there's a December 10th. It's actually a fairly slow day. The park is open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. You know, it should be a relatively slow day, but if they kept the park open until midnight, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, it can be a relatively slow day, but I think Disney's really just trying to pack as much stuff as they can in this year. I think, you know, one of the interesting reasons for this is I think they're really trying everything they can to boost revenue. So the first couple of weeks of December, the crowds aren't going to be that big, but they figure if they can get everybody to stay an extra hour, it's, you know, a few more $1,000, probably a few more $1 million over the course of a year. So who knows?
Yeah. And of course those opening times again factor, I mean, especially Christmas week. I mean, they opened a full hour I've seen before the posted wait time. They'll actually start letting guests in.
Yeah. So even if the park open, if the park says they open at 8 and extra magic hours are 7, I would not be surprised to see the park open at 6:40 a.m. Which, when you think about it, is kind of crazy, right? I mean, 6:40 a.m., most of us are just, you know, we've had our first cup of coffee. And there are people, you know, running to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah, but, you know, they keep that. If they had that park open 24/7, I would say you'd have at least no less than 10 to 15,000 in the park at any one time. You know, that's especially this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, people would do it just to especially everybody that's off. Scope, you saw that they moved the Christmas Day parade later this year, so it's Monday and Tuesday now.
They're going to film it on Monday and Tuesday,
the 8th and the 9th. Yeah, I think it's because they don't want to interfere with the reunion, which is super nice of them.
Wow,
they care. They really care.
Yeah. Interesting. They've never done that. It's always been like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's always been like 3 days, you know.
But this I think is the first year where they've got evening extra magic hours in the Magic Kingdom. It's open until 3 a.m. So I don't think they wanted to keep. I don't think they wanted to try and do all of that.
Do you think that was also somewhat revenue driven, that decision? Because they'd make more money on the weekend with the locals. And
I think so. Yeah. That's a good point. Now the interesting thing will be on that Tuesday, if they decide to do any sort of makeup on the Christmas Day parade, because they've got a 7 o'clock Mickey's Very Merry Christmas party there. So it's gonna be like, those floats are gonna be zipping down Main Street.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, for the first couple of weeks, you got some interesting things. You got 11 Mickey's Very Merry Christmas parties. You've got our own reunion event. Things start to get a little dicey around the 20th, and then by the 22nd, by that Monday, it's going to be like you guys saw that scene in Brad Pitt's magnum opus World War Z where people just come running down was it Manhattan, like the zombies just come like running over the cars and everything. That's pretty much going to be Main Street around the 22nd or 23rd without the zombies. That people will just be swarming in. Magic Kingdom, Epcot, they're all going to be packed. And then by Christmas Eve, you know, on the 24th and Wednesday, it's just going to be completely slammed. On the 26th, the Magic Kingdom is actually opening. So the Magic Kingdom closes at 1 a.m. on the 25th. It tentatively opens at 7 a.m. on the 26th. But as Matt just said, it's going to be, if it's closer to 6, I wouldn't be surprised. It's staying open until 3 a.m. And again, by the time you get people out of there, it'll be 4 a.m. They might have time to change the bags and the garbage cans, and the park opens up again at probably like 6:30. I mean, you could legitimately walk slow from Frontierland and not be out of the park by the time it reopens. Dude, we should totally do that.
All right. So we got So obviously, if you're going then during the week of Christmas and New Year's, I mean, it's. We've done a number of podcasts about this, but essentially, you know, get up early, pray, and then, you know, do your best in terms of, you know, managing. A good touring plan always helps. That's a key. But, I mean, there's not a whole lot we can tell other than you know, just don't try rolling in at 10 a.m. or anything like that. And the other thing about – people always ask about closures about the parks because they do happen. Yep. But, Len, I've usually found that the closures happen in the afternoon, and inevitably they usually reopen in the evening, the parks, that is.
Yeah, starting around, let's say, 10, 11 a.m., they might preemptively close the parks to outside guests.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a resort guest, especially if you're a resort guest around the Magic Kingdom area, you could, you know, somehow get to the front gates. They'll probably let you in. But they'll start closing the parking lots and shuttling people to, like, the studios or Animal Kingdom from the other two parks. You know, and then, but, yeah, like you said, by, you know, after the afternoon parade, generally, most of those temporary closures are lifted.
Yeah, that's a good point.
New Year's Eve might be different. So December 30th and December 31st at the Magic Kingdom, because they do those fireworks at midnight, it might be more difficult to get in. Like, you could probably get in between like 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. Yeah, 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., something like that. But, you know, if you're planning to go over to the Magic Kingdom at like, you know, 11 p.m. on the 30th, to try and catch the fireworks, your best bet might be to make a late dinner reservation at the Contemporary or the Polynesian and just watch the show from there, or the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, because it'd be crazy trying to get out.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's why, you know, if you guys haven't made reservations for New Year's yet, and you want to spend New Year's in the park, whatever you do, stay somewhere where you can walk to and from the park that you're going to, because transportation is just insane. Don't drive, because it's a gridlock out there. And you know, plan on, if you're leaving after midnight, plan on taking 2 or 3 hours using Disney transportation to get back to your hotel.
It's not an exaggeration either.
No. It was a lot of fun. I've done it 3 or 4 times.
It's not fun after the fourth time though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've done it now, and I'm gonna move on. It feels a lot like what Times Square must feel like in New York.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure which. I'm trying to think which is worse, honestly. But
it's the same without the urine.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've probably got more bathrooms in Disney World, but.
Not by much.
Yeah, but not by much, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do. But, I mean, if you're.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, you just have to be prepared, I think. And what a lot of people do is. I mean, there's a few people who don't think that anybody goes there, which is always funny because people think that, you know, oh, why would anyone go to Disney World? They're going to be spending with their families, but. No, everyone.
And there are cities in which that happens. Washington D.C. is dead over the holidays.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, because everyone, all the politicians are home with their constituents, and so all the staffers are gone, so all the lobbyists are gone. Yeah, yeah, right. So, so Washington is dead, but you know, Disney World is not.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about weather at Walt Disney World in the month of December. And boy, if we could predict weather in the month of December, we would be much richer than we currently are now. Because or not lack thereof. I mean, we've been going down for the first couple weeks in December for how many years now? I mean, since like 2006.
Yeah. Nice, 2003.
Yeah, and so, and I mean, I don't think we've ever had been able to properly predict. We've had totally different weather. Every single time. We've had very cold. Last year was actually pretty warm. Last couple of years have been pretty warm, which means we're totally due for like
good
the freeze.
Yeah, we're going to get Buffalo like lake effect snow somehow.
So it's just one of those things. Generally speaking, outside of the extremes, it's one of those times of the year when in the morning and the evening, and by morning I mean before 10 a.m. in the evening after 7 or 8 o'clock, you probably need like a sweater. A jacket maybe overkill, but in the daytime you could definitely go with renewal or shorts. But I was gonna say jeans and like a t-shirt or I think shorts might be a bit much depending on the highs. But usually the highs are like in the 70s, which for Floridians is get the parkas ready. But for everyone else, it's like okay, I'll wear a t-shirt without anything on. So it's layer weather, in other words.
Yeah,
you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think you can easily say that there could be as much as a 40-degree swing in the temperature, because you could wake up and it could be in the high 30s, low 40s. You know, that's extreme, of course. But then you could also wake up and the temperature could be somewhere in the 60s or 70s to begin the day. And it could get as high. I've seen it as high as the 80s in December, and I've seen it as low as the high 30s. So you have to be prepared for anything. You have to bring layers, like you said, Matt. You can't go with just one overcoat, because during the day the temperature is going to swing. You may start off with that sweater, then by the afternoon you may have that sweater off, and then by the evening you may have that sweater back on again.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point. I think that it's very hard to predict. So layers is the key. And I love telling the story because it makes fun of Len, and also, but I think it's a great point. And you know where I'm going with this, right, Len?
No, good.
Oh, the unprepared for the weather. Len came there unprepared, and what did he do? He had to fork over, was it $60 per sweater?
Dude, it was $120 for two. Oh my god!
It's crazy.
You know what? And it was for two hoodies with light blue, which is not my favorite color. It wasn't even a great color, light blue, with Mickey Mouse stenciled on one side. And dude, I hung on to that stupid hoodie, and I wore it like once a year, and the only reason I wore it once a year was like, hey, man, I'm gonna get my use out of this thing. I hated it. First of all, it was way too lightweight. It was uncomfortable. The seams were itchy. I hated that thing. I paid $120 for two of them.
to get your money's worth out of that, you would have to be buried in that thing.
I'd have to be wearing it right now. No, I gave it away at Goodwill, and I think when I actually put it in the pile, I threw it and like gently folded it up. I threw that one. Yeah. God.
So don't be like Len. Make sure you pack appropriately.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So let's talk about special events in Walt Disney World in the month of December. Scopa, there's quite a number of them.
Well, you know, let's talk about holidays around the world in Epcot, where we will not have old technology. We will
it's unsupportable.
It's unsupportable. Holidays around the world is a special celebration around World Showcase where you can go around and you can listen to the storytellers from each pavilion, and they talk about things that happened in the olden days of the holidays. You've got, I remember seeing La Befana in Italy. She talks about filling children's shoes with treats. And Father Christmas, of course, our favorite is the Monkey King. I don't know if the Monkey King is there this year, but he's my favorite. Just is a very, very well decorated area in Epcot, a world showcase, and each pavilion really goes all out. And it's probably the, as far as I'm concerned, it is the most robust decorated area in Walt Disney World for Christmas. And anyone who wants to be in the Christmas spirit would be smart to spend a lot of time in World Showcase for holidays around the world. And, of course, the Candlelight Processional, which starts, I believe, next week. And it's the story of Christmas. And there will be special celebrities, starting off with Neil Patrick Harris, I believe is the first one, who will be reading and narrating during that Candlelight Processional, which involves a ton of singers and an orchestra. And it's always, always well well attended. And there are people who will wait hours to get in there. So that's a that's the big deal for Epcot.
Yeah,
but no, no old technology.
And of course, did you mention the Illuminations tag?
I did not mention the Illuminations tag. And every year, I think it started back in 2005 when they first had that Christmas tag. And every year, we've wondered, you know, who would be narrating, and we're always wondering.
No one else ever in the history.
It's always going to be. It's always going to be Walter Cronkite. 100 years from now, it's going to be Walter Cronkite, or who knows who's next. But that's always been since his passing. We've always wondered how long will Disney keep his voice alive. So that is it's about a 5 to 7 minute Christmas addition to Illuminations Reflections of Earth, and it's well worth attending. Well worth attending.
It is my Christmas tradition to watch this with Mike Scopa every year. It's one of the few Christmas traditions I have that I keep, along with chicken wings on Christmas Eve. It's a long story, but anyway. It's true.
Yeah, so there's that. Let's go over to, of course, the Magic Kingdom. As you know, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party began last month, but it's still going on through most of this month. And as Len alluded to earlier, you also the major events from Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party actually in the later half of the month after the 20th are just part of the everyday events at the Magic Kingdom.
So if you didn't get a chance to see the parade or some of the special shows starting around the 20th,
yep.
I mean, pretty much anybody that's a cast member is going to be working December 20th through you know, January 3rd, and they're going to be doing every song and dance number they can think of, every holiday display, every stage is going to be completely full. And basically anything that they can do to entertain, you know, 90,000 people or whatever that's going to be in the parks, they're going to do that. They're going to pull out all the stops.
Oh, heck yeah. It's going to be they do everything they can to help get those crowds moving. So it's the least they can do for the huge crowds you're going to be running into if you happen to be silly enough to go during that time of year.
You know, there's something that I forgot to mention that I remember every year for the past, maybe the past 5 or 6 years, it's not really advertised that much, but behind, you know, the fountain is in Epcot, mm-hmm. and the fountain, I don't know if it's called the Fountain of Nations or whatever, but right behind there's a stage, and every year, they have those gospel singers.
Gospel singers, yeah.
I guess they're called Joyful, and they are just an amazing troupe of singers and performers. And anyone who's down there over the next month should make a point to watch them perform. I can't get over how much energy that group has. Yeah. There's about 30 or 40 of them. It's just amazing.
Yeah, really, really super fun to watch. Their the voices just boom. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if they're from, I keep thinking, I wonder if they're from the House of Blues, but I'm not sure if they are. I don't think so. But
yeah, I don't think so either.
But that pretty much does it for Epcot. Now we should go over to now the studios, Matthew.
Absolutely. The best thing that Disney does in the holidays is the Osborne lights at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
And see well you can, kids.
Dearly
see
beloved, we are gathered here. Pay respects to the Osborne family.
They occur on the streets of America, and they typically the lights turn on about 6 p.m. Disney calls it dusk. That's 6 p.m. to the rest of us. And you can see them there from when they turn on until the end of the night. It's a great event. You need to check it out. I always say, you know, people ask how much time you need. Probably about an hour, I'd say, is safe, just so that you can take your time. I mean, you can, like, power walk through the whole thing. It's very crowded, but you could probably do it in closer to about 30 minutes. But I don't think you really get an appreciation for it in terms of the enjoyment. But there's snow. There's little hidden things here and there. It's a really cool event and something I think, like I said, I think it's the best thing Disney does for the holidays. So something to check out for certain. And of course, the other thing that's happening during this event, during this month rather, of course, New Year's Eve. Len, you mentioned that earlier. And of course, all the three of the parks are going to be having special fireworks displays at the studios, Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And also the Magic Kingdom actually does it on 2 days, on the 31st and the 30th, if you want to catch their fireworks there. So each has special fireworks. I think the studios is the best because it gives you fireworks and Fantasmics, two different fireworks shows and a lot less crowds. But that's just, you know, whatever floats your boat. The Magic Kingdom will have a special fireworks show. Epcot's, as we mentioned, is the same illumination show, but it has that little tag afterwards. So there's a little extra part of the show just for the holidays. And those are fun to see. But actually, do they do something special at Epcot beyond the normal show?
The normal
holiday tag.
No. It's just, let there be peace on earth. And they start off with that. And the interesting thing is that the way that the timing goes on that was right after the what's the original show? Reflections of Earth. Once Reflections of Earth is over, in this time of year, and you start hearing everything, and it's amazing because it's obvious that they want to make sure that those who are there for the first time don't walk away before this Christmas tag. But it's a very moving piece, and
you
should watch it.
Absolutely. So we talked about the crowds, we talked about the weather, we talked about the events. Are there any closures during the month of December?
Do you want to talk about the resorts too, Matt?
Oh yeah, we should mention what they do. Good point, Mike. I completely forgot about what the resorts do. So quick,
one of the water parks is usually
go to the resorts and buy the gingerbread before Mike Newell gets down there. because especially the deluxe resorts will have who knows what the Polynesia will have, but the Grand Floridian will have a gingerbread store house in the lobby in which they will sell gingerbread. You will find, I'm assuming, as we have in the past, see the gingerbread carousel in the beach club, and I forget, the yacht club has that little city or whatever. So you'll have all these decorations. Of course, the two that you should never forget, and never miss out on, is going to the Wilderness Lodge and the Animal Kingdom Lodge for the beautiful trees in the lobby, as well as the Grand Floridian. The Grand Floridian will have a beautiful white Christmas tree with special, special ornaments. I think that's the most interesting thing about those trees, when you see the size of the ornaments and such. So don't forget to visit the resorts.
Absolutely. Closures, we mentioned, sorry, Len, you mentioned one of the water parks will be closed, right?
I think it's Blizzard Beach.
Yeah, there's usually one, they alternate during this time of year because, of course, most people don't actually want to go there then. Typhoon Lagoon. Although Blizzard Beach will be closed starting January 4th for those of you looking forward.
It's actually closed today too because of weather, but okay.
Yeah. In Epcot, any closures? A couple things that have been closed for a while.
You got Haunted Mansion's closed for a couple weeks in the Magic Kingdom.
Cinderella's that closes in January, sorry. Yep, Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion's closed in December?
I know, right? Osborne Lights is closed on the 10th of December.
That's for a private party, that's why.
Yeah, Wishes is obviously closed when they do the special Christmas version of Wishes.
There's really nothing.
Again, everything is supposed to be open. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Wow. This is it's a good look on the bright side.
Then when January rolls around, like everything's closed. I think. We'll do the January preview. We'll everyone sit down and bring a chair.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. Moose Front Street. I told you. good times. All right. Very good. So yeah, if you're going, it depends which time you go, but it's a good month in some respects, and other, it just depends on when you're going. So very good. But, of course, we have don't forget our live show is coming up on November 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern. We would love to have you there. It'll be a lot of fun. 8 p.m. November 30th. More details at wdwtoday.com. And, of course, our sponsor for today's episode is All Star Vacation Homes. And if you're going in December, it's a great place to stay because, you know, you'll have your own private pool. They're heated, by the way. It's not like they're heated by the sun, as by certain other resorts Len has stayed at. This is you can get heated pools. You can have a hot tub. How cool would that be, right? You go in the parks. You have a good, fun day. How about relaxing in your own hot tub, not having to worry about some guy coming in your hot tub and be like, oh, hey. And then it's weird and you got to leave. And, you know, you like to have it by yourself. You like to be like, ah, yeah, relax. You know, maybe have a drink. Disney doesn't allow you to do that. You know, you can do all these kinds of great things at an all-star vacation home. Kids, meanwhile, are watching on the big screen. Maybe they're in the game room or just playing in their own theme rooms. There's so much, really, at a all-star vacation home. Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And, of course, you can email us your questions and thoughts about anything Walt Disney World. Email us questions with an S, at WDWD.com. For Len Testa, Mike Newell, and Mike Scopa, I'm Matt Hochberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.